Larry McCarron, along with Mike McCarthy, for this week's podcast. And Mike, this past week you said your best players have to be your best people. And in the NFL, would you agree with this? Leadership starts with performance.
Well, it definitely enhances it, no doubt about it. But, you know, it's the common path in the locker room for a player to get himself in the position of a credibility and feel comfortable, you know, exerting his leadership on his teammates. So, you know, the fact of the matter, when your performance is obviously at the highest level, you know, the younger players and your teammates are going to at least listen to what you have to say. So, but yes, performance definitely enhances leadership.
When you made that comment, you were referring to a question about Aaron Rodgers. And those special players, I've always noticed that, the best in the world, they've got a certain attitude, too. Not only the ability, but the attitude. I was wondering what you think comes first, the ability, and then you develop that I can take on the world attitude, or is it the attitude, you know, the chicken or the egg thing? What do you think?
Wow, I almost think you have to have them both at the same time in the beginning, because I think the attitude, I'd have to say the attitude's first, because the attitude brings out the ability. So I'd say the attitude is the chicken, or is it the egg? So, but
it's too deep for me.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think the attitude brings out the ability, and it fosters that opportunity for growth and development into a great player.
You mentioned right before we started that your folks are coming to town for the Rams game. Now, which I'm sure is fun, what kind of differences are there in the feedback you get from your dad as opposed to your mom after a game?
My mom's she's great. She's always smiling. Really, her biggest feedback about the team is just to, you know, make sure that you let them know that, you know, lit the candles back in Pittsburgh at, you know, St. Rosalia's, and she'll there's not a Catholic church in the Green Bay area that she hasn't been to or has lit candles there. So she's your gal. She walks in your church. She's going to light some candles and say her prayers. So we're always covered there. I always feel really good about that. My father, he makes the mistake of reading everything that the media writes. So he's always got 20 questions for me. They're getting in today. Yeah, they're getting in today. It's the, you know, first home game they've been to this year, which, you know, things have changed a little bit for our family back home, and we've got some, you know, things going on, and because I think they went probably the first 7-8 years where they didn't miss a home game. So it'll be great to have them in time for the next 2 weeks.
Now, speaking of your dad, I remember you one time telling a recruiter story. Did it go something like, some guy promised you something, some coach promised you something, he didn't deliver, and your dad went out and saw him? And how did that go? Well, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I was promised, you know, something in just as far as the structure of the scholarship, and we were actually in training camp. I think it was it was my first year. I was junior college transfer, so then I was down our training camp, and my father was getting these bills from the financial department at the university, and so he called on the phone, and, you know, and I went, told the coach about it. He said, fine, right, that's a mistake. And so this went on, you know, a couple times, and then we're out on a practice field the one day, and the trainer or someone comes, pulls me off, and the head coach is kind of right there with him, and he says, hey, you got an emergency phone call from your father. So I had to, you know, run back up to the field house, and I'm thinking, gosh, you know, what is it? You know, it's the old black phone sitting there in the training room, you know, the old days. And so I get on the phone, and I said, you know, I'm like, hey, Dad. And he goes, you get your ass out of there. You head to the airport. I've had enough of this, you know, and so on and so on. And, you know, then I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, you did. And then as I'm going to turn around, the head coach was right there, and he just said, hey, I'll fix this today, and I can't tell you the rest of the story on how it went down, but my scholarship was fixed after that. So,
would it be correct to say Joe McCarthy stands up for his own?
Oh yeah, no, I, you know, hey, you know, one thing, you know, growing up between my, you know, between my mother and father, there's five of us, and we knew we were going to college. I mean, that was a must. You're going to go to college. You're going to get an education. You know, they didn't have that opportunity, and they were going to make sure all of us, you know, had that opportunity. So, you know, and really, the fact of the matter is, he probably didn't want the scholarship because, you know, all five of us went through college, and no one took out a loan, and that's something that he prepared for his whole life. He was going to make sure his kids were college educated.
So this Sunday, your folks will be there after the game, but I want to talk about, since we're talking about it after the game, the kids. Now, you got a couple of young girls. Do they give a hoot that you played the St. Louis Rams that afternoon in the National Football League? Or is it, hey, read me the book, Dad.
No, they don't give a hoot, number one. But, you know, our six-year-old Gabby, she's gonna be seven in a couple of weeks. But, you know, they get to dress up in Packer gear on Friday. So that's she's into that part. And actually Jack, our oldest boy, came home yesterday. He's had a customized Josh Sitton shirt that he's wearing to school today. He was really proud of it, so Josh will enjoy that. But you know, Izzy's the 4-year-old. She wants to play. I mean, if there's whatever sport's on TV, she wants you to play that sport with her. So no, noon games are great. You know, it's you get up, you get to go play the game and so forth. But you know, that is really the one game that you get to enjoy time with your family.
More fun, and I was wondering about this. Now that you don't have the play-calling duties, and it's hard to describe a professional football game as fun. That having been said, I don't know how else to say it. But do you find the games more fun now that you don't have to call the plays? Or are they too serious to be fun? They're just rewarding and satisfying.
Well, everybody that's part of the team is competing. You know, obviously the players are competing at the highest level, but you know, as a play caller, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, you know, you're competing with the coordinator across the field on what he's calling. So that, you know, that's the part I do miss that, but also, you know, I get to compete in, you know, in a different way. It was, you know, more situational calls and things like that. So the games are, I don't know if they've been more fun, they're fun when you, all games are fun when you win, but I'll just say this, that they've been a little more frustrating because what you find out is when you're able to be right at the line of scrimmage pretty much all the time compared to, you know, prior years where you were behind the line of scrimmage, you know, particularly on the defense, you see a lot more of the officiating. So, and, you know, we've had a lot of officiating going on the first 4 weeks. So that's been a little bit more of a frustration, but it's good. I mean, I enjoy my new role, and I'm, you know, just compete in a different way, and just trying to, you know, maximize, you know, my input and presence in all three areas.
Speaking of the guys in stripes, when you look at the tape and there's a penalty been called on one of your guys and you think it's totally bogus, but the penalty was called and you got yardage marched off against you, does that player who was penalized, does he get a plus when you're grading him? Does he get a plus on the play if you disagree with the penalty, or because it was a penalty, does that go down as a zero?
If there's a gray area, we go with the penalty. But if it's clear cut, no, we definitely don't grade the player down. I think it's important to evaluate, you know, from a clean platform of what you're teaching and what they're executing. And the fact of the matter is, you can't start letting a third element, you know, come into your evaluation process. So the techniques that we're teaching and where our training is applied to those fundamentals, and the player is trying to execute that fundamental, and, you know, obviously something goes where the official thinks it's a penalty and really wasn't a penalty, I think you have to, you know, I think we grade that as a plus because, you know, at the end of the day, when you get into this analytics, the depths of it, you have a lot of data that's common. You know, the NFL gives you the GSIS data, then you have the data really how you break it down, but your own evaluation of your player to me is the most unique and specific data that you have to make sure it's clean, because that's how you get accurate evaluation, and that gives you the information that you can apply to the future as far as training and emphasis of the things you're trying to get done each week.
You mentioned analytics, Mike, and your director of research and development, Mike Ayers, recently retired. Now, I know, sometimes from the outside looking in, you're a little skeptical. Just walked off. What's the real story? However, from what I understand, it's a real retirement, and you leaned on him heavily, didn't you?
Oh, definitely. No, Mike Ayers is a great man, and was top of the, at the top of his profession on what he did for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he spent 30 years in the National Football League. You know, he worked for the wrong team the first 16 years, but he obviously came across the Mississippi and was with us for 14 years. But this is something that was planned. He actually stayed on an extra length of time to just make the transition smoother for us, which I greatly appreciate. So, but this is something that's been planned for some time, and Mike's a huge family man, and he's enjoying retirement, but he's only a stone's throw away and keeps in touch. But yeah, he's very, very special and unique to all of us. I mean, he had unique relationship with the players, and spoke in front of the team every Thursday, so for 8 to 10 minutes, and so obviously he's someone that was leaned on greatly.
If you could, Mike, could you give us an example of, like, something Mike would unearth that he relate to the team and give him something that would be of benefit as far as from what his perspective was?
Mike was about facts. You know, he would give you the statistical, factual reflection of what we were emphasizing each and every week. We have a theme every week. And every Monday, Mike and myself and Matt Kleiners, we would sit down and I'd tell him what I'm thinking as far as the pulse of the football team, where we are. And Mike and I would talk about different themes. And Mike was always, reading and researching. And, there wasn't a book that didn't come out that he wasn't in tune with as far as leadership and, anything, involving performance. So we would kick around these different ideas, and we'd come up with a theme. So I would present the theme on Wednesday, and then Mike would do a follow-up, usually with a case study of something so far-fetched, from a mountain climbing or, different type of sport from the business world that would apply to the theme that week. And really out of that, give you three clean coaching points that we could apply to the to the game as an emphasis standpoint, because it's all about improving your football team. So and that's why you have to stay on top of pushing buttons of emphasis to continue the football team to grow.
Mike, a practice observation, it's been going on, but I just really noticed it this week, is that there's a lot of collaboration between the assistant coaches and the players they coach. I mean, they discuss things, approaches, how to go about attacking the opponents and that sort of thing. That's really a good place to be, isn't it, where you have a collaboration between coaches and players.
Excellent observation on your part, because, it really goes back to the off-season emphasis of, two things we needed to improve on our football team was communication and increase the football IQ. So the interactive communication on the field is something we definitely have improved on. The field work is the most important thing we do each and every day. Practice is the most important part of our day. So to get that part right has always been at the highest level of importance. But, how do you get better there? So, and then with that communication, and also what you're seeing, I think you're seeing more crossing over of, the offensive line coach talking to the defensive line and, vice versa. Because, there's a day in this league, and maybe it may still go on other places, assistant coaches would build that wall around their guys. Hey, don't you be talking to my guy. Don't be correcting my guy. Those are my, And but those walls don't exist here because that's not part of our DNA, and it's not part of our method for improvement. Because if you want to know more, if you want to increase your IQ in football, go talk to the guy that plays the position opposite. He'll probably give you some pretty good feedback.
Mike, you mentioned how important practice is, and there's times over the course of a long season you're going to have a dud of a practice, crummy practice. Now, I've seen coaches kind of obsess about that, and they get down about it. We had a lousy practice and stuff. And I don't know if this is accurate, you kind of blow up and get it off your chest, and away you go, and don't obsess about it and move on. Would that be accurate, and how does that happen, I guess? How do you look at it?
I would say it's accurate. That's the way it goes. I mean, that's my style, I guess. But my number one job when I go to practice is, you know, I'm always watching. I'm watching individual drills. There was an individual drill yesterday. It was going really good, and then there was two young players that just didn't do a very good job. And, you know, that has already been corrected today. So things like so. And at the end of the day, I think you have to simplify, you know, responsibilities for everybody. And frankly, it simplified the responsibility for me at practice. Practice needs to look a certain way. And I've done it long enough. I know how it needs to look. I know the timing and the pace and, you know, the workload of how it's supposed to progress. And then when we're not there, you know, you give, tell them to pick it up and then pick it up. And then, it gets to a point where you have to sometimes, you know, be verbal and get it to weigh, you know, just put some energy into the environment and get to practice to pick up some.
You're coming off a game, Mike, which was a great illustration of how you cannot take success in the National Football League for granted and how difficult it is to maintain. You beat a 49er team that just a season before last was on a run of three straight NFC championship games. And now that same 49er team, you could say a team in transition, they may be looking at a tough year. It's that maintaining that bar at a high level, being a contender all the time, wow, that's hard to do.
Well, consistency is hard to find in any business, and especially in sports. And, you know, that's something that we work at each and every day, and ultimately, you know, just to go along with your question, Eric, the result is how did you perform on Sunday, and that's the clear indicator. So, I think it kind of ties into your theme. So, we knew that was an important game going on the road and short week and West. I mean, you had a number of different variables that work against you that you don't have in a normal week. So we hit the target, won the game. Now this is a whole different week. We got 7 days. We're playing at home. So now we're on the other side of the spectrum thinking that, hey, now we got things working to our advantage, and that's the way you can't think. So that kind of goes right with our theme this week. I think our theme this week is excellent. I'm going to give you a little inside scoop here, our theme this week is, you know, we're on a red alert. So that's and I could talk about that for 2 hours, so we ain't got that much time, but that's why you have a theme, and within that theme you're able to push the emphasis buttons to make sure your team is focused and looking at each opportunity the right way.
When you come up with a theme for the week, and it's a 16-game schedule and so forth, you just go with your gut, or does it require a ton of thought? What button are we pushing this week?
Well, sometimes I could, you know, I'm walking off the field and I already have it, you know, because something happened in the game, or, you know, you see something, but then you sleep on it and, you know, you get feedback from the people around you. You know, it's we have a different format this year because obviously with Mike Ayers' retirement, we have an assistant coach each week is now speaking to the team on Thursday for 8 to 10 minutes, and he gets his 3-minute, you know, opportunity on Saturday before practice. So that's all part of the head coach development and giving these guys opportunity. And so far we've had five great presentations on Thursday. So as you can imagine, the assistant coaches are really competitive, and I'm sure next week's will be, you know, competing with the first five and so forth. So it's been very healthy, a very healthy messaging process and and I'm enjoying it. So it's so far so good.
I haven't talked much about the Rams, if at all. Do you got a big if for this game, for Sunday's game, if we're going to be successful?
Well, I go back to the standard. If we win the big play, you know, or excuse me, the turnover ratio and the big play battle, we'll win the game. I mean, that's our MO. So as far as from a statistics standpoint, but just pure football, you know, we need to run the football. We need to stop the run, and our coverage units need to outplay their return units.
That good old-fashioned football holds up all the time, doesn't it?
It'll never change, no matter how much they change the rules. It all comes down to fundamentals.